It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Hey Fidelity, how can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
We'll pivot. We'll go kind of back and forth through things today. College football at the bottom of the hour. Young Hansen made his debut for the Blazers last Friday. Had a follow-up game on Saturday, and we were talking about the break, like you couldn't have written a better start for a dude that was pretty unknown for most. Like, I mean, absolutely no disrespect here. There was nobody qualified to tell us whether this guy was going to be good or not outside of the organization.
No, it's probably the most asked question I've gotten from people in my lives and random listeners that I run into over the last, when was the draft? A month ago, however many weeks ago it was. Every time somebody brings it up, what do you think about Young Hansen?
2 weeks ago. It was 2 weeks ago.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I've never seen him play basketball before I formulate an opinion.
You can't, I don't know, man. I've heard enough stuff about the Chinese League to say you can't take Chinese League highlights and tell me that you know he's going to be this or that.
It's also a highlight package where they're showcasing some of the best plays that he made. It's totally different watching an entire game.
But if there's things that I noted in watching his first game. Now, his second game, again, quote-unquote disappointing. If you would have told us that was his first game, we would have been like, holy crap, what a nice debut.
He had a nice little Duncan game, too.
He did. So a couple things that I noted of seeing him. Now, again, it should the summer league thing can deceive everybody. And I'll raise my hand here because I'm loving it. I'm having fun watching it on Friday night.
It is summer league basketball.
And Saturday afternoon, I just check and I see names of guys I've never heard of. And it's like 19 points. And I'm like, okay, well, summer league. That's right.
Quintel Woods was once the MVP.
But if there's things that really stood out for me, the passing was nice.
Yep.
He has such a... He has an air to him of confidence of directing guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like catching, he loves to catch the ball at the top. Mm-hmm. They've done that a million times, it feels like, already. I know he caught it more in the post in the second, but the first game was largely at the top, get the ball, turn. And just watching him kind of direct with his hands, you can kind of tell that he's communicating in different ways with his guys of like, yo, you need to be here and this and that, like, floor general stuff. Like somebody, I jokingly said, General Yang. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of how it looked to me, which I thought that was an encouraging thing. It talks about his IQ, his understanding of things. He's already getting what the Blazers, at least in summer league, want him to do. I mentioned the passing. Look, the post work needs work. It's a kid playing video games, hitting the spin button over and over again.
Spin move.
It's a lot of that, and yeah. He got stripped a couple times in it. Other times he has scored, been close a couple others. So he's still kind of raw offensively, But when he catches at the top, he's got real command, it feels like, of what they need to be doing offensively.
Yeah, I think the takeaway was pretty similar for me. You know, look, you sent out a tweet when Yang Mania was taking over. And basically, you know, Blazers have found the greatest player in the history of the NBA. And somebody tweeted you, and I got tagged in it. And that was the way I saw it. Basically, I swear if Dirk can't be excited over this, I want to hear Dirk excited for once in my life. And I do genuinely enjoy that tweet. So thank you for sending it. And then a listener tagged me in it and said, Dirk probably went to bed at 8:15. I did not. I was actually watching the entire game. I was
two
on
very
vacation.
Good tweets.
I was up late that night because I didn't have to wake up early at all. And the little guy was sleeping good. What I would say is I have been excited at times in my life. If you've listened to the show and the station long enough, you once heard me say the words on these airways, why can't Thomas Robinson be Dennis Rodman? Okay? That's come out of my mouth. The belief that Elliot Williams would be the guy that we build a franchise around, that has come out of my mouth. So I have been that fan before, and I've just decided I don't want to be that fan anymore. So I think when you're reacting to Summer League games, there is, yes, an absolute grain of salt that you have to take. This is Summer League. How many guys on those floors in either of those nights are going to be reliable NBA players for the next 5 years? The number of guys in those games are incredibly small.
Well, also that I think it needs to be referenced here just for the, fairness purposes. That Golden State team's one of the worst Summer League teams I've ever seen in
just
my life.
Just like, I don't know any of those guys. Never heard of any of them.
Well, there was the lesser Mobley.
Sure.
That was it.
The balding Mobley from USC.
The other Mobley.
The ugly guy who looked like he was 45 years old when he was in college.
When he played against Baycott, and I know he dunked, I don't even know the cat's name that he dunked on. The white guy for the Grizzlies Summer League team.
Yeah.
But when he played against Baycott specifically, you could see the physical difference. Baycott,
yes.
Stronger,
yes,
a bigger tree trunk down there,
played
not as easy to move
hoops.
Around. Yeah. Whereas I don't even know who Golden State had defending him if it wasn't Mobley. It was people I'd never heard of and I don't think we'll ever see.
No.
So it was like tough for me because I'm enjoying it, I'm having fun watching it, but I'm also like, who is he playing against right now? I don't even know who this player is.
Yeah.
And when he played at least a name I had recognized in Baycott, it was a G League dude last year out of
yes.
UNC, I was like, ah. And look, still had a nice game. I still
sure.
had a nice second game, but not quite the first. And a large reason for that, in my opinion, was Memphis is a better team in the Summer League. And then also, you just got a bigger, better body down
yes,
there.
Yes, and that's going to make it a little bit harder for him to score. I think the positive takeaways were, again, I'll reiterate what I said in the last segment. I felt like the floor is higher than I thought it would. I didn't know how raw of a prospect he was going to be. Because, again, all I had to go off of, I didn't watch the NBA Combine. And he was supposed to be a second-round pick, so I didn't look into him a ton. And the Blazers made a surprising pick at 16. Seeing him play, you could see the vision, you could see the competency offensively, you could see him really confident with his with the ball in his hands, directing traffic, as you pointed out. All of that to me was very encouraging, and it tells me that there's a fit in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only box that I was genuinely looking to have checked out of the opening weekend of Summer
League.
You want
to take away and say, that guy can play actual rotational minutes.
Like, can you play this guy
year?
In the NBA next year?
Yes.
And I feel like I can answer the question out of the weekend and say yes. Now, the whole Chinese Jokic thing, like, I know that a lot of it is tongue-in-cheek. If any of you are serious, for the love of God, don't do it to yourself.
That's just
I know. There are people, though, that believe it and say, well, now I can see the comparisons because he can pass. It's like, yeah, dude, there's a lot of, like, to me, a more fair comparison out of the opening weekend of Summer League, to be honest with you, is an end of his career in Portland, Arvydas Sabonis. A guy who doesn't move that well, might knock down a three if you leave him open. Incredible passer. But, you know, it's kind of like
Chinese Sabas.
Chinese Sabas, to me, okay. is a more apt comparison to a guy who
I'm
shot
excited either way. You didn't do anything there.
30, 10, and 10.
You may have just made it worse.
Yeah, that'd make it worse.
You made it worse.
One of the greatest centers we've ever seen in the history of the league in Jokic. Like, I think his offensive game is incredibly raw. I don't think there's a lot there.
The post moves.
Post moves yeah. are just, I don't know if he's a reliable shooter yet. I do think he has nice touch from the free throw line.
Defensively, seems
dude, he's leaving
slow.
His feet constantly, and he's a little slow, and he committed a ton of fouls. Now, again,
the foul thing is what I worried about most,
I think,
was just like the first game. I think he had 5 or 6, and I think you
he
can
had
get
six in game one. He had 6 in game two.
And you can, yeah, that's right. And you can have 10, I think, in Summer League. I just kept thinking, like, ooh.
That's a lot of fouls.
If you're getting 6 fouls in Summer League, those cagey vets are going to be able to easily get you into 3 fouls in 5 minutes in the NBA.
But again, none of this is meant to be negative, which I'm sure some, you know, Kool-Aid drinking Blazer fans will view it as. It's not he's a raw prospect. He's a rookie. He's like, it's going to take time. The idea that this guy was going to come in right away and dominate, it wasn't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as he could improve in some areas, and then you can combine that with clearly the smarts that he has about the game, the understanding about where guys are, player movement, ball movement, like all of that stuff is things that you can work with. Now it's about, can he knock down threes at a reliable clip when you leave him open? Is he always going to hang out on the three-point line as a seven-footer?
He seems to like, I took away from the two games, I think he likes that top of the key, top of the paint, kind of three-point line area to either grab the ball or do a little screen action, little catch, a little, you know, handoff.
Where's the balance there for asking a seven-footer, though, to get offensive rebounds? That was a thought that I had for
the rebounding weekend. Was one area that I would say, like, okay, he's not grabbing a ton of boards. Like
he's the biggest dude on the floor, and I think his rebound high was five in both games or four
or
five.
I mean, look, for as fun as I think Friday was and some moments on Saturday, as fun as that was, there's definitely areas that were like, okay, we can kind of see why he's projected where he was projected.
Yes.
But I can also see the flip side of, I can understand Portland's interest.
Oh, now, I get what they saw in it, yeah.
That doesn't make the pick the right choice. If Cedric Coward is a great rotational player in Memphis, or Carter Bryant, who's had a nice defensive start in summer league for himself, if those things show that those are really good role guys, we might rue the day. But I can see at different moments, not just the highlights, why Portland goes, man, this project, this could pan out for us.
Yeah.
Now, how does it work with Donovan? They still have Rob Will on the team. We know Dwap Reith is probably at the bottom of that list. I don't know how that minute distribution is going to go. I'd imagine he's going to be playing some G League. He has to, right? You want to polish. You want to season. You want to get him to grow and develop. But Rob Will doesn't stay healthy.
No, he's not a reliable guy on the roster.
If Rob Will's not healthy and can't play, you're going to have Young Hansen.
I'd rather have him out there making mistakes than play Dwap Reith. And no offense to Dwap Reith.
No, I would too.
He's your 16th pick. You just used a lot of capital to go get this guy. Let's see what he's got. Let him make mistakes.
Of all the moments I watched with Klingon even last year, and Donovan had some nice moments, and he had some other moments where you look like a rookie.
Yeah.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Hey Fidelity, how can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What I saw in two summer league games, and the caveat there should be summer league, what I would say, though, is what I saw a more confident player when he had the ball.
Yeah, I would agree
now,
with that.
Now, it didn't end in good things every single time he touched it.
He had a lot of turnovers, too.
Yeah, what do you have, five in the second game?
I think you have five in game two.
I saw a guy that, like, is confident in who he is as a player and feeling like, all right, I might be new here, but I'm already leading this.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And Donovan's maybe a different, obviously a different player, but Donovan didn't kind of have or carry that same thing.
No, I don't think he's just not as confident with the ball in his hands. They're very different players.
Very different.
And that was the other takeaway that I had from the weekend. Like, I don't know how fit-wise it would work to play both of them, but they are drastically different centers.
Oh, I can't wait for them to be on the court at the same time, because if you're Chauncey and you're not fiddling with that, why would you not?
That's the whole point of a year like this, and it should have been the point of last year, is let's tinker, let's play with things, let's see what works long-term, because we're not going anywhere. But one of them is defensive-minded, blocking shots, down in the paint, doing the dirty work, and the other one wants to stand around the three-point line and run the offense. So they're very, very different players at center, and watching how often and when, for how long, they play together at the same time next year is going to be fascinating.
Yeah, it was a great debut, that's for sure. Yong Hansen, now, their schedule... Their next game.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
He plays, right?
Why wouldn't he?
Why would you
have
not
you been
play
following?
Him?
Okay, I'm just asking seriously. Have you been watching Summer League?
I know they shut down Cooper Flag.
I watched a full game and highlights.
They're doing like weird, I wouldn't call it load management, but like.
We're now load managing Summer League.
The Spurs game.
It's Vegas.
The Spurs July. Game was after the Bronny Flag game. And so I didn't know the schedule. And so ESPN's like, coming up next, it's the Spurs. And I'm like, oh, Harper. I get to watch Harper. And they teased it. And then right before the game started, the sideline reporter basically was like, Dylan Harper's not going to play tonight. And the broadcaster was like, all right, well, we look forward to his debut on Saturday. And I'm like,
why would you not
turning
play
this
him?
Game off.
Why would you not play him in Summer League?
They was dealing with an injury, and they said they were saving him for Vegas. And then his first Vegas game came, and they're like, we're going to wait for Cooper.
Bunch of candy asses out
there
just, now.
Yeah, it kind of feels
get
a little
your
candy
ass on the floor and play the game.
Gen Z.
What are we doing?
Soft.
Bunch of softies. Soft. Everybody wants a trophy now. Nobody wants to work.
That's exactly what the problem is.
Sit at home.
You know who wants to work? Yong Hansen.
Yong Hansen wants to grind.
And then he wants to sleep and play video games.
That's all he wants to do, man.
That's all he wants.
I want to know if he got the new NCAA football. Who's his dynasty with? Who did he start one? I want to know.
We end up having a real deep conversation about how do his taxes work?
Well, that's a good question.
How do my taxes work, boys?
Well,
you're paying taxes. Your taxes are doing wrong.
You're doing your taxes wrong.
You're doing
I pay
wrong.
A person. I pay a person.
Not I feel doing confident.
Right.
I'll do your taxes. You can pay me next year. You want me to do your taxes
How
for
does a Chinese player handle the taxes? Because he gets taxed in Oregon.
I don't know. It's great
and then what does China take?
Well, he also gets taxed in every state he plays a game in.
Yes. Every state you play game a game checks. In, you get game check tax in that state.
And then you pay your... Is he, beginning, Oregon.
Is he coming over as like full-time resident? Is he going back to China? Is he like a dual citizen? Like, what's he going to do?
I don't know. I had Chinese tax questions. Yeah. We got into that conversation.
I mean, you know, communist country. I'm sure they take a lot in China, but I don't know.
So.
I don't know how that all plays
but
out.
But he also is a hero.
He is also a hero.
And one more question, then we'll go to Ciancia. Was Yao Ming's name Ming Yao, but he did it backwards, or was he different?
Ming Yao would be a cooler name.
Well, Yao Ming, though, I think was his actual first and last name, whereas here we're doing it backwards. And they said it was because of Chinese customs.
I thought it was, oh.
His name is Hansen Yang.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they reversed it. They Missy Elliott it. They put the thing down, flipped it, and reversed it. And then people said it incorrectly. And then we were corrected.
I'm really depressed. It's not Yang.
I mean, we can't.
Yang would be cooler.
Yang Gang.
Yang,
I'm still
gang.
A Yang.
Yang Gang would be cooler.
Yang Bang, Yang Gang.
I mean, I'm here for Yang, but I'm a fan of Yang.
Same.
Yeah.
Let's go to the ticker. Brett Ciancia covers college football for Pick 6 Previews. We'll talk a little college football with Ciancia next on The Fan.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Hey Fidelity, how can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.